Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running outdoor talk radio program. We invite you every week to be a part of our program, and we have a statewide toll-free number that you can dial. What is that number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and you should really dial the whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039. And 1039 is our call letter, so it should be easy to remember.
You bet. And we always, Norm asks us to remind you that we ask you, when you make your call, turn your radio down. Mm-hmm. That way you won't get that distracting echo. Hey, it's a Labor Day weekend, great time to sit back and enjoy the lovely weather we've had. It has been gorgeous, hasn't it, Aaron?
It has been. I love it.
Oh, me too. And a nice breeze on the lake today.
I bet there is, huh?
Just gorgeous.
Did you take a dip this morning?
No, but Josh Josh took a little dip.
I bet the water's cooling down a little
bit. He said it was a little cool.
Yeah, I bet you.
Yeah.
I bet
you. Not my cup of tea, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a great program lined up tonight. I'm going to introduce our special studio guest in just a moment. But first, the crew who make the show possible week after week. The man behind the controls in the operations center, the sage of Grand Lake Stream, none other than Mr. Norman F. Plord.
Good evening, everyone. And I have to concur that this is really nice weather.
It is.
Yes, it is.
If we could only keep it for a while.
Yes. Yeah. And if you look at the extended forecast, I'm afraid to report it's going to...
Well, we have 5 days, good days coming up.
Yeah, but I guess it's going to drop
80s.
Back to...
80s. It'll be in the 80s.
Yeah, low 70s or something, which is still not bad.
Yeah. Our co-host tonight is the same guy we have every night. He's a registered Maine guide. He's a former deputy game warden. He's written some superlative books about trout fishing. He's a man that just knows his way around a trout rod, Mr. Bob Lehman.
Thank you, Paul. That's very kind of you. I like your outfit tonight.
Thank you. You like my tie?
You're a real busy man.
Diane made me wear this.
You're a businessman tonight.
Well, I've been to a wedding. In fact, I want to congratulate my nephew, Will Houston, and his new bride, Krissa. They were married yesterday. Interesting. They got married yesterday down. They hiked up on a mountain, Aaron, down in Cherryfield.
Nice.
And then they had a small wedding on top of that mountain. Wow. Not everybody wanted to hike it. And then they had the reception in Hamden today. So it was really nice. We had a beautiful time. Yeah. And the lady he married, his new bride, is from Alaska.
Ooh. Awesome.
And she's from an island in Alaska. I think it's Petersburg Island, I believe.
Must be an outdoor girl then.
Oh, she is. Oh, through and through. Oh, yeah. They love to hike. And in fact, they do ice climbing.
Nice.
Who, you've done that?
I do not. No, but I know people that have done it. Yeah.
No, that's not my cup of tea either. Yeah. Anyway, we want to wish them the very best. And they had a lovely wedding today. And we appreciate the invitation for being there. Let's see. Our guest tonight, I've already spoken to her. She's been our guest before. She always does a marvelous job. She writes a column for the Sporting Journal called Women in the Woods. She's been writing for, we just said, 9 years?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
Erin Merrill, welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be up here.
Well, nice to have you here. And we'll be talking to Erin. I'm going to talk about bear hunts. And she's a well-rounded hunter. She's been taking all kinds of critters. And if you read her columns, you know she is a passionate hunter. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about that. And if you're a woman who's thinking a little bit about getting into hunting, you might want to stay tuned. I think Erin may whet your appetite for the hunt. I'm sure she will. Right now, though, a couple of things. Bob gave you the phone number, so you know how to call us. And we want to tell you again that if you want to listen to previous programs, and how do you do that, Bob? If you want to hear one of our, say, 2 weeks ago, we did a great show.
You go to WVOM, Voice of Maine podcast, and ring it up the Maine Outdoors show, and then Norm will finish it up for you.
You'll see there that the list of previous recorded podcasts.
Yeah, but if you now to get the podcast, you just go to WVOM FM.
If you want to hear it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, if you want to hear it live, you've got to go to, I guess we worked it out last night, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's confused, me or you?
You best way is you Google WVOM FM.
Yeah. But if you live in Podunk, Ohio, you can hear us live.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. And that's the way to do it. If you Google WVOM FM, it'll give you a link to that site. And when you go to that site,
click on listen, right?
Then you'll see podcasts, live podcasts. Yeah. You just click on that.
All right. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
So if you got a great uncle out there in Podunk and you want him to hear the show, just give him a call and tell him to try that out. You'd be surprised. Yep. We have listeners as far away as Clinton, Ohio. We have a listener, loyal listener, down in Chicopee, Mass. And I don't know where all else, but we have listeners all over the country.
Mm.
Anyway, a couple of things here. The Sporting Journal is on the newsstand. The September issue is still relevant, and you can get a copy at any newsstand near you, or you can call the office at 732-4880, and Alicia will fix you up with a nice subscription. We'll deliver it right to your home. And we want to also remind you that you need, if you're looking for recipes, outdoor recipes for fish and game, you need to check our new item on the Sporting Journal website called Outdoor Connections. You just go to sportingjournal.com, you know, on your laptop or your mobile device, click on Outdoor Connections, and it'll take you right to our recipe page. And we invite you, if you have a good fish or game recipe, we invite you to submit it to me, and we'll make sure it gets listed on the website.
You like mac and cheese?
Yeah.
I love mac and cheese.
With lobster in it.
Well, that's even better. That's a little expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like mac and cheese. The homemade mac and cheese.
Not that junk
you put in those boxes.
Not that stuff.
Like your mother used to feed you when you were a kid.
Mac and cheese, homemade, in the oven, a whole bit of
cheeses. Where did that come from?
Well, it was one of my favorite recipes.
Oh, it's one of your favorite recipes. Oh, okay, that's right. We were talking about food, weren't we?
They could send them in. Maybe we'll be able to get a chance to read them.
Okay, we do. We might read a recipe on the air.
Yeah.
We have a caller before we take the digest?
Yes, we do.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. We're on with Aaron Merrill. What's up?
This is Sneeka. I got a question about your column.
Yeah, go ahead.
About your column in the paper this Sunday.
Yep.
Talking about boats having to drain, this, that, and the other thing.
Stern drains,
yep. Yeah, the way I read this, does that cover everything except live wells?
I'm not sure about live wells. I read the statute. I saw nothing in there about live wells. They have different names for stern drain. I used to call it a stern plug. But for those of you who may not be up to speed, a law was passed in June that requires you, if you're at a boat launch and you want to put your boat in the water, you have to have... Make sure you pull the plug before you put it in the water. And then when you take it out, they want you to not to drain it into when you're near the lake. It's another new state regulation. I don't know why. Most people who have a boat do that anyway.
Milfoil, probably.
Yeah, they're worried about milfoil, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
The thing, I'll read it right here. There's your head in the paper.
Yep.
Boats are required to remove or open any devices designed for routine removal / opening. In parentheses, for example, hull drain plugs, balers, live wells, ballast tanks.
Oh, so
end of parentheses.
Yeah, okay.
No, wait a minute. It gets better. To encourage the draining of areas containing water, excluding live bait containers. Now, a live well and a live bait container to me,
same
a live
thing.
Well is built into the boat. The bait container. Yeah. Would be a bucket that you'd have with you.
Yeah, I agree. It's
okay. So this may have an answer to one of the things that a lot of us, as far as invasive species getting transported and whatever like that, that I don't know if the people that do the inspections for milfoil and whatever like that, if this will open the door, all right, about checking live wells. The reason I mention this is because for years and years and years, all right, and I got up there last week, Siskahoss Lake is only about 40 minutes from Umbagog Lake.
Right.
One afternoon, my wife and I came in about 3 o'clock in the middle of the week. There was a bass boat being put in at Siskahoss, and let's put it this way, it was from away.
Right.
And I told my wife, I said, I'd give anything to look in their live well. She said, why? I says, look, as they could have been on a Magog. Come out of there.
Yeah.
Less than an hour ago.
Yeah.
With a live well full of bass.
Yeah.
And beat it over to Siskar's, go out around the corner, and it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's there. The risk is there.
We've talked with Francis when I was on the FIT committee.
Yep.
We talked several times with Francis about being able to inspect the live well of a boat before it gets in the water. And the way the rules and regulations are, all right, this was 4 or 5 years ago, all right, you could not do that.
Yeah.
If you asked and they said yes, but you weren't allowed by the law of inspecting for milfoil or whatever like that.
And we want to get on here with our show and our guest. Let me suggest this.
Okay.
No, we appreciate it, Snicker. That's a good question to bring up. How about you check with Fish and Wildlife and get a reading on that and get back to us?
Tuesday.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I just wanted to bring it up for other people to think about it, too.
Well, remind Bob,
I haven't got his fly yet.
Okay.
I was waiting for that.
Yep. Okay. Well,
let me apologize for that. I opened my file tonight. And here's his address that I forgot all about his fly.
It'll be in the mail
tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the call, Fern.
I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Fern.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. A couple of things on the digest before we get to the fishing report. Doe permits have been drawn. Remind you once again, you have until April. It'll be too late in April. September 12th, you have until midnight to accept your permit. You have to pay $12 to lock that permit in. Don't forget to do that. If you don't, you'll lose it. Did you get a DOE permit?
I did.
Did you? Good for you. And have you locked it in yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me too. I do it right.
I don't waste any time.
No.
Dad and I get drawn.
Yeah.
They're bought.
Right then. You bet. Okay. One other thing. Bear season is in full swing. And our guest, Erin Merrill, is also a bear hunter. And we'll be talking to her about bear hunting in just a few minutes. And right now, I think Bob's itching for you to bring in the band, Norm. Here's the band, Bob.
There they are. Coming through the door.
They're looking fresh.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Well, you're in good voice tonight.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
What is going on in the fishing world?
Well, there's a lot of things going on. I took care of Vern Fossey. He was right at the top of my list here. We got him taken care of. Okay. Now we're going to go to V. Paul, who has got a history thing at Branch Lake to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, I'll make it really quick.
Yeah.
Branch Lake Association hosted a... they had a three old-timers, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Long-timers, I guess, who folks almost as old as I am. Older than I am,
mm-hmm.
as old as you are,
oh,
were there.
That is old.
Yeah. And one of them had a pulse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And anyway, they were great. They did a marvelous job recollecting the old days, the late 40s.
Oh, really? That's back in Hanson's Landing and Trout Derbies and all that stuff.
And I'm not going to rehash it all. It's very interesting. I learned so much about a lake I didn't know about. And I've been going there for 50 years.
Yep.
Anyway, the one thing that you probably didn't know that I didn't know is Branch Lake. You don't know. You've been to Branch Lake, Norm?
Yes, I have.
You know, there are actually two lakes.
Correct.
And that the narrows in between.
Mm.
Well, back in early 1900, if you were there, if you went back in space in time to 1900, there were two lakes. There were two ponds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the dam.
There was no water in the Narrows.
Right.
There were two lakes.
That's right.
Two lakes.
And upper and lower.
Upper, no, but there was no way you could pass through like you can today.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And Bangor Hydro built a dam back in 1910,
mm-hmm.
and it not only created two lakes, but it also created, there's a cove over by Hanson's Landing.
Right.
I think they call it McGillicuddy Cove or McIntosh.
Yeah, my son's
cove.
Got a camp over there.
Okay.
Big camp.
That cove didn't exist before they
Are you kidding me? Is that so?
That was wooded area.
No fooling. I didn't know that. Oh, well, I didn't. That's amazing.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
I thought it was.
Well,
a lot of other stuff, too, but I won't bore
water
you.
Water coming back, by the way?
Is what?
Water coming back up after they repaired the dam.
Oh, yeah. Levels are back up really good.
That's good.
Yep. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting little historical
tidbit. Very interesting,
tidbit.
Sir. Yeah. I could go on forever because I had two different camps down there, as you know.
Yeah.
And I spent many, many moons down there.
I know you did.
My father did and uncle and all this. But anyway, let's get back to fishing here.
Okay.
late September, as you know, Paul, things start to cool down and it's time to go fishing.
Yep.
for salmon and trout in the lakes and streams and brooks everywhere. And it cooled down to normals in Grand Lake Stream. Let's talk a little bit about Grand Lake Stream. September 15th, Grand Lake Stream used to close. You know that? And we used to catch salmon, Roger and I, Wakefield and I. We'd get down there, and we were about the only ones there fishing, but in the 70s and 80s. And we would catch some beautiful salmon, and, you know, in the first 2 weeks of September.
Yep.
Can't do it anymore. Just can't do it. Now, you got to wait till the last week or two anyway, and probably into October before you'll have any luck at all.
Because of water
temperature. Just not coming in. Well, I don't know if it's got a lot to do with water temperature, probably, but it's got a lot to do with the dam control and how much water they let out and all this stuff, the weather and all this business. I won't mention climate because I don't believe in all that stuff. Yep. But anyway, that's the way it used to be. Now, it could be stocking, too. Some of that stocking. It could be a lot of the native fish out there anymore, you know. There was only 1% of the native fish anyway. 1% was native. Believe that, salmon?
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth, yep. So anyway, they're going to be closing open from September 15th now all the way to October 25th.
So I can fish Grand Lake Stream until October 25th?
Yep, but there are regulations.
Catch and release, right?
Catch and release, yeah, after the 30th of September.
Yep.
So there's one thing. Then, of course, there's other places to fish now. Check your logbook. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check the logbook where you can go fishing in late September and October and even November up to East Outlet. They're open a long time. Do you know how long they're open?
No idea.
Year round.
Are they?
Year round. I wouldn't want to go up there in the winter.
At the outlet?
Fall in.
Yeah. No. It'd be cold, too.
Anyway, check your late season fishing laws. Make sure that, I know in September, a lot of these brooks right now, there's fly fishing only. Bait. No bait, you know. It's imitation flies only.
Yeah.
And you can't keep anything in September.
Right.
On a lot of brooks.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Well, that'll wrap it up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice report. And Norm, you want to help the band to get their stuff together and get out? Are they going to leave early?
The band? Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone? Oh, they're gone already. Oh, okay. I think it's time now for... Now, do you want to take a commercial break or you want to do the trivia question, Norm?
Well, the trivia question fits into the break, too.
Oh, so we better do it right now.
Better do it right now because we're running behind.
Okay. Aaron Merrill has agreed to not only read the trivia question, but she's going to judge the veracity of your answer. And if you get the right answer, I'm going to make sure, personally, that you get a one-year subscription to Aaron's favorite publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal. What's the question, Aaron?
So the question for tonight is that Maine has a target identification law that all hunters are subject to. The law requires all hunters to identify two parts of any critter at the same time before taking a shot. What are those two parts?
Okay, we want them to name the parts, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And what's the number, Aaron?
Oh, I don't know. 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, what's the number?
1-800-966-1039.
1039.
All right. We'll be right back. Okay, that was the shortest commercial break in history.
I guess so.
Right.
I can't believe it was
We didn't
that
have time
short.
To get a drink of water.
Right.
Okay, we're waiting for a caller now. Aaron wants you to call in and answer her question, and we're going to make sure you get a subscription. Do we have a caller?
You have two callers.
Okay,
awesome.
Let's take the first one. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I listen every week. The head and the body.
You say the head and the body. What's your name, sir?
Billy Norwood.
Okay, Billy. Let's check with Judge Merrill, see what she says.
It is, the head and the torso. That would be the body.
You buy that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he's a winner.
I would say he's a winner.
Okay, Billy, you're a winner.
Wow, thank you.
How's it feel to be a winner?
What's
she won? It doesn't happen very often.
No, I haven't been a winner, Billy, for probably, I don't know, 20 years. But anyway, congratulations.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, congratulations to you. You are definitely a winner, and I'm going to make sure you get a subscription to the journal, okay?
There you go.
Good, thank you.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Billy?
I can't remember when partridge season started.
It starts, I looked that up just today, as a matter of fact, and I've forgotten already. It opens up like the last Saturday of September, I think.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Billy, stay in the line so Norm can get your address, all right?
Okay.
All right, don't go away, guy.
Yep.
All right, thank you. And we appreciate the other caller, and maybe next time we'll have another one that you can call in on. All right, that is the correct answer. The target identification law, which is a statute, requires all hunters to identify both the head and the torso, not either or, but both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the reason is obvious. We want to make sure that the deer hunting safely. Okay. Our guest, again, if you just joined us, is Erin Merrill. She's got quite a background. She's the she writes the Women in the Woods column in the Journal. She's a member of the Outdoor Writers Association of America, the New England Outdoor Writers Association of America. She's on the board of directors, which yours truly is, and she's a worker. She does some great work, and we're so proud to have her on the board. She also is a senior writer for a website called Drury Outdoors. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Drury Outdoors.
Yep.
And she has a blog, and all of her writing is on this blog, and you can check it out by going to And a Strong Cup of Coffee?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
You did.
It's all one word, right?
All one word,
And
yep.
A Strong Cup of Coffee. All right. You like your coffee strong?
I do.
Do you?
And when you get up early to go hunting, I feel like you need some strong coffee to get you through the day.
I'm kind of a wimpy guy. I make it weak. My wife says, like water. I don't like it too strong.
I add protein powder into mine.
Do you really? That's mm-hmm. a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Nice to have you with us. And again, if you folks at home have a question to ask Erin, Bob Lehman wants you to dial
1-800-966-1039.
Yeah. Before we start talking about some of your hunting exploits, mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about your background, Erin. You live down in Belgrade, you're married, you have a couple of children. When did you start hunting, and how did you get into it?
I started hunting when I was 20 years old, and it was basically some of the people that I was hanging around with didn't like hunting. And I grew up with my dad deer hunting. And so I knew that what he was doing was not wrong. You know, he went out, he shot a deer, brought it home, and we ate it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see what it was all about and learn about it. So he agreed to take me out, and I wore my snowmobile clothes because that's all I had.
Yeah.
I snapped every branch. It was awful.
Yeah.
But I called in, I think it was the second year he let me go with him. I called in a small buck, and he shot it, and that was the end of it. Yeah. I rattled it in a buck.
Yep. Yeah, did you really? And you were hooked from that point on,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so do you still hunt with your dad?
I do.
Do you?
Yep. He's my hunting buddy. Yeah. Although my daughter's trying to infiltrate that.
Oh, is that right?
She's 6 years old. So hopefully I have a few more years to wait.
Yeah. So once you express your interest to your dad, then he kind of gets you tutored you and into it.
We started building some tree stands, and we would hunt together, and then it slowly evolved into him leaving me, and he walks, he can't sit still.
Does your dad live near where you live?
Yeah, he's in Skowhegan.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yep.
All right, good.
So we still hunt together.
And you've been hunting how long have you been hunting?
Half of my life.
Half of your life?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I'll let you do the math.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to ask you how old you are because you never ask a lady that,
exactly.
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. We can ask how old Norm is, but not you.
Nope.
All right. Okay. So that you started that with your dad, and I can tell from your, I can read between the lines of your wonderful writing you do in the Journal that your real biggest passion is deer hunting. Am I wrong about that?
I really love deer hunting. Yes.
Yeah.
Bear hunting's probably a close second.
Yeah. You know, my wife's a deer hunter,
mm-hmm.
Diane, and it was about 10 years of our lives when we were younger where we baited and we ourselves mm-hmm. and up to our place, and we just had a lovely time. And she says that those are the best memories of entire married life. And because a tree stand in September is warm, you're comfortable.
And
deer hunting, you freeze your feet, your hands.
Right. Yes.
But it's a lovely time of year to be in the woods.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of critters.
Yes, you do.
And anyway, she remembers that as a wonderful time. And she's a deer hunter, but she would count probably bear hunting as her very favorite. It's just exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Particularly exciting when it gets dark and you have to walk out through those fir trees not knowing whether there's a bear hanging around, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, you've taken... In 2021, you had a hat trick, or grand slam, you'd call it.
Yep.
You had a bear, a moose, a deer, and a turkey.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment. And you eat everything you harvest.
Yes.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
I think it depends on how each one of them is prepared.
Yeah.
One of the things that I try to do as I'm hunting is be that ambassador to the non-hunting groups that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
And so I had Candace Sable, who is an amazing outdoor chef, come to my house, and she did a wild game dinner my fellow Rotarians.
Yeah.
And she made a bear queso dip that I think was gone in under 5 minutes once she put it on the counter.
What is it called? A bear?
It's bear queso dip. So it's like cheese and tomato and jalapenos. And
did it have a bear burger in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she made a moose heart pizza. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was so good.
Yeah.
And so that's just a way that I try to connect people that don't.
Well, that's good.
They might not be anti-hunters, but they're not hunters themselves.
Not sure.
And so anything I can do to try to open up their minds and get them to taste some of the meat that I'm hunting.
With my friends, we made the sausage, and I tell you what, it was unbelievable.
Yes.
Bear sausage?
Oh, yeah. Bear sausage, and you added some pork to it.
Oh, I'm sure it'd be good.
And the biggest hit was the jalapeno version of the sausage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it went over great.
Not my cup of tea. I don't do those hot things. You like jalapenos, Bob?
Oh, heavens, no. No way.
No, I don't either.
No way.
Yeah.
They don't like me either.
Yeah. Norm, my son, he's just, the stuff he eats is horrible. They get this sauce called, what's it called, kick-ass chili sauce?
There's a number of sauces out there.
How do they eat that stuff?
If you get your son and...
You like that?
No.
Yeah, well, you wait till he gets a little older.
And Goodman together.
You say, what happened to my stomach?
Yeah. Well, they say that stuff's good for you.
It is?
Yeah, it cleans out your arteries, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, you've taken all those. Is there a favorite bear recipe that you have, any kind?
The queso dip was really good. Mm-hmm. I usually will make chili or like a shepherd's pie or something like that.
Or lasagna.
Yep.
Yeah, Diane shot a small bear that was took good care of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a couple of lasagnas with it. Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
Ooh, sounds wonderful. Yeah.
In fact, my sister, my kid's sister, who swears she would never eat wild game.
Yeah.
Because how do you do that? She's a little bit of a Bambi lover. She was at her house, and we served her bear lasagna, and she didn't know it.
Right.
And to this day, she may be listening. She's on her way back to Falmouth. I don't know. But anyway, she loved it. She went back for seconds.
Yeah. Did you ever tell her that it was bear?
No.
Okay. So if she's not listening tonight,
she may hear this. If she's listening tonight, she may learn it for the first time. I hope she forgives me.
Right.
Anyway, it's all how you process it and your recipes, isn't it?
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Okay. Now, when you hunt deer or bear or moose, do you hunt with the same rifle?
Yeah. Yep.
What is your?
I have a 30-06.
Wow.
It's a Savage 110.
Yeah. Can you handle that?
Yes, I can handle that.
That kick?
No.
They got a pretty
good... They don't kick.
Yes, they do.
They don't? You put it right in the cracks of your shoulder?
Come on now.
No.
When you shoot...
I'm so focused.
How many rounds do you shoot like at the range?
My dad told me that he doesn't want to chase any animals, so it's one bullet, one shot, one kill, they drop.
Okay. 30-06. Yeah. Wow. Is it a pump or is it a bolt action? Bolt action 30-06. And you shoot, 150, 60 grain, 180? 180. 180s,
yep.
Yeah. Wow. And it
doesn't kick. I'm so focused on whatever I'm shooting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even.
Yeah, you never notice it when you're.
No.
But if you're at the range and you're trying to sight in your zero in your gun, sometimes about the sixth or seventh time with my 270, because I got a bony shoulder, but I get, that's about enough of that today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So 30-06, you'd use that on all these critters? Except the turkey, of course, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, what about turkey hunting? What do you shoot?
Oh, I just have a regular 12-gauge.
12-gauge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good. Are you going to be... our engineer is giving us a signal. We're going to take a commercial break, a profit break, and then we'll be back with Erin Merrill. And again, we encourage you to ask her a question at 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and if you've joined us late, our guest tonight in the studio is Erin Merrill. She writes a great column for the Northwood Sporting Journal called Women in the Woods, and we're talking about some of her exploits in the bear, moose, and turkey deer woods. We have a caller who may have a question for you, Erin.
Okay.
Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Erin Merrill.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I've been hearing some stuff about some new laws that were going to go into effect about... no lead bullets on federal and certain state, federal lands. So I was wondering what your feeling was about that, or if you had an opinion, or if you had any information for any of us out here that are wondering about what's going to go on with that.
I'll let Aaron take that, and then if I have a couple of thoughts. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, I haven't really been following it.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, you want me to grab that one?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to take that question. The answer, as far as I know, there was a controversy in the Sporting Journal. One of our gun writers asserted that all the federal refuges and all the federal land where you were allowed to hunt, that lead bullets had been outlawed, and apparently it's a little more complicated than that. Some of the areas, they have banned lead bullets and lead shot. Other areas they haven't. As far as I know, in Maine, there's absolutely no prohibition on lead bullets, but the department has encouraged people to look into alternatives. And I can't remember what the material
steel
is.
Steel shot, yeah. There's steel shot and copper bullets.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. I'm not that familiar with copper bullets. How do you feel that copper bullets compare to lead bullets?
I've heard different reports, and I'm not a ballistics guy. The expansion is completely different. There's all kinds of ballistic information about that, and I've heard mixed reports on it. I've had some people say the copper bullet is very deadly, and others say it's not. So I don't have a very clear answer for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's one of those things that the federal government seems to be playing with at this point in time. And
yeah.
It's definitely a concern to all hunters throughout the United States because we are a large population.
But let me tell you, as far as yours truly, I will continue to use that box of Core-Lock every time.
Indeed.
I don't mess around with anything else. And as long as I'm alive, Bob,
all righty then,
Core-Lock.
And
Bully.
Bully.
I appreciate it. I just wanted to put that out there and you know get it into the people's minds.
Yeah, good question.
Something I've been reading about.
We'll have a discussion about that sometime. Good idea. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Oh, of course.
All right. Okay, I want to ask you, we learned so much. We were talking during the break. Erin, among her other talents, is also a trapper, and she has trapped black bear.
Yes.
In Maine. She took a course in trapping, and so if there's any question, there shouldn't be any at this point, that she is a through-going outdoor woman who loves to hunt and fish and trap.
Yes.
One of the things I want to ask you, you're a passionate deer hunter, as am I, and I have some memorable hunts, and they weren't always the biggest deer because of a bunch of reasons I won't bore you with, but they stick in my mind for other reasons. Do you have a most memorable deer hunt, and could you share it with us?
Sure. Let's give a shout-out to Uncle Jim first before I go into my story.
Okay.
But I think when I think about it, obviously my first deer, I was sitting in the tree stand that my dad and I had built, and I had gotten really sweaty, and so I pulled my jacket down a little bit, and when I did, I leaned forward, and I could see this deer coming down over the hill. And I remember frantically tapping Dad's leg that there was a deer coming. Yeah. I'm like, oh, gosh. Because at that time, we had one gun between the two of us, and we were sitting next to each other. And so he just sort of reassured me to, you know, get into position, that I knew what I was doing. And I remember taking the shot, and then I looked at him and was like, did I hit it? And I did. I mean, it went maybe 10 feet and dropped. And it was a little spike horn. But, you know, for me, I was so excited. And I instantly, you know, got down. I used his phone and I called Mom. Mom didn't answer the phone. So I called my grandmother. And that sort of started my tradition of always calling Grammy every time I shot a deer instead of my mother.
Yeah.
So just it created all those little those traditions that I've continued on today. Another one, I think, is when I got my Grand Slam. And it was just, I needed, the deer was the last one.
That was the last.
It was the third week. And it was a perfect day. One of those days that you really almost don't want to shoot a deer because you don't want to come out of the woods.
Too nice,
It was just the blue sky. Yeah. And I heard something behind me and I turned and this deer was right there on my right.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of turned and shot and then that was it. Like I had done it and it was exciting.
Yeah. Do you... I hope you don't think I'm patronizing you, but do you field dress your own animals?
I help out, yes.
You help out?
Yes. Okay. I do.
You're not afraid to get your hands dirty, right?
No, I know how to do it. And, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And all of this is with the 30-06?
Yes.
Yeah. And what kind of a scope do you have on it?
It is a, what is it?
4-power adjustable?
It's a 4-power, but it's an oval, and it's a red field. That's what it is.
Redfield, okay.
And they don't make the ovals anymore. My friend Andy owns a gun shop in Belgrade, and I was having him try to find me another one. And I can adjust it.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Yeah, good. We have another caller. Let's take it.
Perfect.
Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Aaron Merrill.
Yes, we have a question. Have you ever tried farm-raised venison? We have a few deer farms in the state, and we sell red deer venison.
I have not.
Some species of elk.
Oh, you sell it?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are you located?
Located in the town of Carmel.
I know where that is.
All right. Tell us the name. Tell us the name of your business, sir.
Asheville View Deer Farm.
Asheville View.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the venison.
Well, we've only been in business for 30 years, so we've been around a while.
Oh well.
Are you on the North Road?
Not far from it.
Yeah, what I thought. Okay.
Well, I want to tell you something. I've been a resident of this area most of my life, except for a hitch in the Navy, and I get around, and I haven't heard of you. You should advertise in the Sporting Journal.
Yes.
Seriously, you ought to get your word out.
I guess so, huh?
We're the best kept secret in Carmel. We've been here for 30 years.
Yeah, well, you need to. I'm going to get a hold of you. What is your first name, sir?
This is Kenneth.
Kenneth. What's your last name, Kenneth?
It is Sweat, S-W-E-T-T.
Okay, I'll have to get in touch with you. Asheville View.
Ash Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're in the valley of Ash Hill.
Ash Hill.
On the end of a dead end road.
Okay. And you raise what kind of deer? Red deer?
These are red deer. They're a subspecies of elk.
Okay. Are they? I love elk meat. I've hunted elk.
Well, this is what it is. And we sell it at a farmer's market on Saturdays at the Bangor European Farmers Market.
Nice.
Okay. Is it reasonably priced?
Well, $10 a pound hamburg, $25 a pound tenderloin.
Yeah, wow. Well,
and if somebody wants to buy a whole critter, that's possible, too.
No kidding. How many do you have on your farm?
Somewhere between 80 and 90.
Hmm.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, we learned this program incredible. We always learn something every week.
Where else would you?
We appreciate you calling in, Kenneth. That's very interesting.
No,
and
I would pass it on because you know the people that like to hunt or just can't get out these days.
Yeah.
So
oh, what
a
chance!
Good alternative.
Yeah.
And for someone who would like to try venison and want to stay away from the gamey taste,
right?
This being elk meat, it is completely different.
Oh yeah, elk is delicious. Yeah,
you don't have to mix fat into the hamburg to be able to make a burger.
Oh, that is great.
Hmm.
And it's no hormones or any bad stuff in it, right? It's all
no. These are the only thing that's stopping us from calling it organic is we buy grain is not an organic grain.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, it's so close to it you will.
Yeah,
well, you know, you might just well call it that.
All right.
Can people buy it at the farm, or do they have to go to the farmer's market?
They can't. No, if they call us, you know.
Okay.
We actually had a cooking show come out and videotape the farm.
Awesome.
All right. Well, you still need to get more exposure. Okay. I'm gonna.
Yes.
I got a nice little $4.95 special. I'm gonna talk to you about. Okay? I'm telling you, Kenneth, you got to buy a small ad.
Come buy a deer. We'll talk with you about it.
All right. I'll be by. I want to see your place. I want to see your deer.
Well, we ought to have him on the show here.
We'll be by and have you on the show, and I'll get you to buy an ad, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, world's full of surprises. We've got to take a profit break again. Okay. We're with Aaron Merrill here on Maine Outdoors. We have other questions for her, but before we get to her, Bob Lehman has a special message he wants to share with you.
I certainly do. And let's talk a little bit about the General Appliance Company in Brewer. They've recently just moved, as you know.
Yes, I do.
And they've been in business now for many, many moons. And they have a new gentleman that runs the place now. He's used to be a repairman for them, doing service for over 35 years. And his name, Paul, is what?
Gary Coleman.
That's right. Good for you. You're that man of cigar. So anyway,
that's why I'm paid the big bucks.
I know. I understand. Yeah. Yes. Off grid living is made easy at General Appliance and Brewer. They have gas ranges, gas refrigerators, freezers, gas lights, and compost toilets.
Right away, baby.
Thank you, Norman. And anyway, they have parts over there, Paul. You know that. You've been over there.
Oh yeah.
You've done business with them. They have a new place now that they do business. It's just a half a block up the street from the old store. They're right on the corner now, and they're fully stocked with all kinds of gas and electric appliances. So drop
you
in.
Know, and you know, the most important thing is they've been patronizing, they've been sponsoring this show for like 20 years plus.
Oh yeah,
and they make this show possible.
Awesome. They do.
So support them, mm-hmm. Right, Norm?
Absolutely.
Norm buys stuff there.
Been there before.
Appliances. Yeah. I buy appliances there for my camps.
I've been in there.
You've been in there. Yeah.
Things, yeah.
All right. General Appliance and Brewer, make sure you stop in and check them out. Okay, we're back with Aaron Merrill. Aaron, we want to talk a little bit about bear hunting before mm-hmm. we run out of time here. You also, along with being a deer hunter, you're an avid bear hunter, and you've hunted in different situations. When did you get your first bear?
I got my first bear in 2014 during the referendum.
Oh, did you?
I actually wrote an article for Down East Magazine. They did a whole spread about why we hunt during the referendum.
During the referendum, I know.
And so for me, I wanted to actually be able to authentically talk about bear hunting.
Yeah.
And Tim Cody, who's in Gray, mm-hmm. Is a outfitter, and he put on Facebook that he had a one-day, you know, hound hunt available end of October. And so I said, okay, let's do it. I had learned to bait. My friend Steve had taught me how to bait.
Yeah.
We sat over bait. Nothing was coming in. And so I figured I would try with hounds as well. And I told him flat out, like, I don't need a bear that badly. So if the bear turns on the hounds, like, we're good.
Yeah.
I'll just take photos.
Yeah.
But we let the dogs out. Their bark changed. And
isn't
they
that
took
exciting?
Off. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I've done that. It's a workout too, isn't it?
It is. And
physical workout.
They took
yeah.
us right up the mountain. We were in Western Maine,
yeah.
And I remember we hiked up and up and up and up, and we had a couple other people that were with us because it was the holiday in October. And Tim looks up in the tree and he's like, "That's a really good bear." I was like, "Okay, great." And you know, a couple other people came up and they're like, "That's a really good bear."
Yeah.
And Dad had said if I shot one, he would pay for me to get the rug. And so I remember, like, Tim, they pulled the hounds back, and I got in position, and I shot.
Yeah.
And I just remember the bear, like, letting go and falling back. It was like there was no noise.
Yeah.
Just the bear falling back, and he hit. And, he was dead when he hit the ground. And so we walk over to him, and Tim's like, "Oh, my God, that's a huge bear."
Yeah. How big was it?
457.
Wow. That's a big rug, too. That must have cost your dad a
Well, I helped him pay for it because it was big. It's 6'4" from the tip of his nose to his tail.
Yeah. Where do you have the rug? Do you have it now?
I have it in my office.
Oh, I bet.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah, we have a caller again.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of calls. That's good.
I like it.
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Aaron Merrill. Go ahead.
Okay, is that me?
That's you. Yeah, you're up.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, I've been deer hunting, and the deer seem to be one step ahead of me. I took up deer hunting after I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, do you blind hunt or do you hunt from the ground?
I have stands that are up in the trees. For me, just my comfort level, I like to be up higher and be able to see around me more. And it also lets me move around a little bit. They're sort of like box blinds that are up in the trees.
What type of hunting?
Do you go out there before the crack of dawn or what?
I am. I actually will sit for 12 hours. So I go in when it's dark and I come out when it's dark.
Yeah, that is the name of the game. Patience is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't easy to sit in the tree stand that long. Believe me, I'm good for about 2 hours and I get really antsy. But if you can discipline yourself to do that, you're going to get the shot.
And it's a lot. Like, I have a backpack, and so I have all my snacks and water. And,
yeah.
If your time is limited, go out first thing in the morning when it's dark. And just sit until, 9:30, 10 o'clock maybe, and then go back out in the afternoon, an hour or so before dark.
Yeah. You actually sit for 12 hours, huh?
I do.
Well, you're patient.
It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stamina.
Yeah.
Stamina, right.
Ma'am, do you hunt from a tree stand? Do you have a tree stand?
I do, but I'm kind of a midday hunter.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Plenty of deer at noon sometimes.
Absolutely.
Some of the best time.
And well, I have a doe permit this year, so it might be a little more lucky. I've seen doe in the mid of the day, but yeah. Not many bucks. So. Yeah.
Well, get yourself a doe permit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have.
You never
right.
know.
Thank you.
You never know. Good luck.
Yep. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Right. Yeah. Bye.
Okay, we heard from another woman hunter. That's good.
I love it.
So you may do some bear hunting this fall before the season's over.
I'm hoping to, yes. You're
hoping to.
Yep, my friend Stacy has a few baits that are out.
Yep, good. Do you, your youngsters, are you planning to teach your youngsters to hunt?
They have their lifetime hunting and fishing licenses.
They already, yeah?
They do, yep. Yeah. Because it's cheaper if you get them before they're five.
You have a boy and a girl.
Yep.
Now, interesting thing, I have some grandchildren, and it's always the females that wanted to hunt, and the boys weren't interested.
My son has gone out a couple times, and he gets really bored. he's happy to stay home and just have us. His favorite cut is the heart. Yeah. So he just wants that delivered to him so that my mom can cut it up. My daughter is, adamant that she's going to become my dad's hunting buddy and unseat me. No.
Save the liver.
No. Oh, I grew up having to eat that, and I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah. Let me ask
you. That's why. Liver and onions. Yeah. I mean, man, you can't beat it.
A lot
of people leave that in the woods. That's too bad. It's a waste.
Well, I'll save them for you.
Yeah. Okay, do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like heart.
The heart is good.
Cut it thin and fry it in the pan, put it in a sandwich. Pretty
moose
good.
Heart, moose heart especially.
Yeah, your deer heart.
Really
deer. Yeah. Let me ask you this before we run out of time. I know there are women listening who don't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of women listening just because they like the show who don't hunt. What would your advice be? Let's say there's a woman, I don't know, a middle-aged woman who maybe she's thought about hunting but doesn't have a mentor, somebody.
Yeah.
How would she break into the game, if you will?
I would say if she's on social media, we have this amazing group called Maine Women Hunters.
You do?
We do.
Is it like a website?
It's an exclusive group on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook. Okay.
And it's a wonderful place for women to ask questions and figure out who's in their area, who might be able to take them out and help mentor them.
Yeah.
Feel free to email me on my website or contact me on social media and I can help make some of those connections.
Okay. What's your email for somebody listening?
It is, if you go to the blog and a strong cup of coffee, there's a contact link right there.
So just online, just go to and a strong cup of coffee.
Yep. You can even Google Aaron Merrill, Maine, and I'll pop up.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of women across the state that are coming together and working together to try to figure out how can we have either group hunts or share our knowledge, share gear to be able to get more women into the outdoors.
Yeah. One of the things back when Diane, my wife, first took up hunting, deer hunting, she had a hard time finding clothing.
Yes.
you know, really, seriously.
Yeah, there's still an issue with that.
I thought Cabela's and Beans and some of those folks were starting to tumble to the idea that women are the increasing demographic among the hunting community.
They're struggling with the idea that women are not all the same size. Mm-hmm. And so I wear men's hunting clothes because that's what fits me and it's what keeps me warmer.
Do they make
women's clothes.
Women's hunting clothes?
Yep. Yeah. But it's really hard to find things that are going to fit the right way.
Yeah. Okay. Was that a dumb question?
No, not at all. And you also have a lot of women that refuse to wear pink camo or camo that's lined with pink. And so you just, I have my green wool pants and my red and black wool jacket.
Yeah.
And that's what I hunt with a bunch of layers underneath it.
But. So that's the old standby. You got the heavy green wool pants. I wear those.
I do wear those.
And a wool jacket?
Yep.
Yeah, wool's the way to go, don't you think?
It is, absolutely.
Although more and more folks are wearing polyester, but wool's the thing for the woods, I always thought.
When I'm sitting for 12 hours, I want the wool around me.
Yeah, you gotta be warm.
Yep.
Do you take a thermos of coffee with you and cheat?
Coffee, water, snacks, lunch.
Yeah.
A charger for my phone,
camera.
I mean, you name it. I look like I'm,
I do too.
Backpacking
much stuff. Books. I take books with me.
Yep.
You make that time pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure. I think the engineer is giving us the high sign. We got about a minute, right? I want to thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And you're always a wonderful guest,
well,
and we love
much.
Having you here. You've been great. We've had a lot of good calls, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, I like it.
Best of luck in your bear hunt.
Thank you.
Be careful in those tree stands.
Yes.
You know, you got to be use the belt, safety belt,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to do that, yep. All right. Again, thanks. We appreciate you. You drove a long way from Belgrade, and we appreciate that.
It's all good.
Very much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, and come back again, okay?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back. Our guests next week are going to be, these are guests we have about every year, but we always get some good stuff from them. And you probably know these ladies, Lindsay Ware and Suzanne Hamilton.
I don't know Suzanne, but Lindsay's fantastic.
Okay, she and Suzanne are blood trackers,
mm-hmm.
and you can get them to track your wounded deer, and they're good at it. I've been with them. They know their stuff.
That's awesome.
So they're going to be our guests next week, and we'll have them here. And if you have questions for them, we'll welcome you to call in and ask them questions. They know their stuff. They've been at it for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years at least that I know of. And I guess that's it, isn't it, Norm?
Well, you gotta wait for the music.
Okay, we're waiting for the music. We don't usually
about come, 15 seconds.
Comes in. Anything you want to say, Bob?
Good night.
Good night. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
All right, and we'll see you all next week. Right here on
Maine Outdoors. But we gotta wait for the music.
Where, wait for the music.
Where's the band?
Bring in the band, for heaven's sake. There they come now.
We'll see you all next week, right here on
Maine Outdoors.